Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
Well, now we are joined in the WAAF studio by the guys from Dinosaur Pile Up. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Hi.
How are you? Hold on, I want to make sure everybody can hear you.
It's cool to be in Boston.
It's nice to have you back. You guys were just here in July with Shinedown.
Yeah, that was killer. That was such a great day.
Yeah.
Which is where I met you guys, and we ended up in this long conversation about Rage Against the Machine.
And how they need to come back.
That's right.
They're well overdue.
That's right.
We actually just started watching some of their live stuff before we going on to get ourselves going.
Yeah, what were we watching? Was that Leeds and Reading, their performance at Leeds and Reading?
I can't remember which one it was.
It's so killer. Like, we were watching them the other night, like, that just their live set.
Oh, it was Woodstock.
It was Woodstock.
Oh. And the whole crowd is like one massive pit.
Last week, Korn was in town, and they played that Woodstock 99 as well, and I was talking to Jonathan Davis about it. And just how crazy it must have been for him on that stage, because that show, I mean, it was in their prime. It was Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
It was Metallica. It was Korn. It was Kid Rock. Rage Against the Machine. It was nuts.
Yeah. I mean, what a show to be at.
Yeah. And the vibe on stage and stuff, like, it's just so wild. Like, there's so much energy. And they have, like, what I really love about Rage, I've seen them do a whole bunch of times, they always have, like, 100 people just on the stage with them, like, around the back.
Yeah, they don't shut the stage off. They're not like that. They're like, they embrace it.
I don't think that would fly now.
Well, I mean, yeah, maybe not. I mean, I'd like to do it. If we ever got the chance to, like, play big stages like that and there are our shows, I'd want to do that.
Our techs would be pissed off.
Well, the rest of the band has said that they would be more than happy to get back together, but that it's Zach holding it all up.
No way.
Right.
And so they're not waiting for him, which is why they did Audio Slave and why Tom Morello has done The Night Watchman and a lot of the other things he's done, because Zach is just kind of doing Zach and Zach things.
Yeah, I heard that he was pissed off with Prophets of Rage. I don't know. It's just hearsay.
Yeah.
It's
a bummer, because obviously, we're both big fans of like Run the Jewels and stuff. And obviously, Zach did a track. Was it just one track with Run the Jewels?
Yeah.
Which was killer. And he's just, you know, he's still doing all that great stuff. I just wish he would.
But it's one of those bands where they're all still alive.
Yeah.
They're all young enough to be able to pull off the performances.
Totally. Yeah.
And it's like, can you just please get back together?
Literally, I would be at every show.
They were amazing to see, just the amount of energy. And everybody at that Woodstock by then was really pissed off anyway.
Yeah.
And so they were just looking to take it out on something. So when bands like Rage and Korn came out on stage, it was like, yes, let's break everything.
Yeah. You can feel that vibe watching it.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Because I was at 94, too.
Oh, no way.
And it was just happier. Like, everybody was muddy and just happy. And 99, it was like, we're really angry at everyone. And I was kind of hoping that the 50th was going to get put together, but...
Yeah, what happened there? Just
pretty much,
fell apart.
Nobody wanted the liability, I think. And I don't think they could have pulled it off the way that it needed to. Like, 94 was amazing.
Yeah,
yeah.
99 was just such a disaster that I think everybody was worried about the liability.
Oh, that's such a shame.
Yeah.
Because the Rival Sons were here and they said they were supposed to play it. And in the interview, I was like, I don't know if they're going to pull it off. And they're like, no, we heard it's going to be great. Okay, guys. Bummer.
Well, when we were up there, they were still talking about it like it was happening.
Yeah.
And then literally a week later, I think we heard.
Yeah, the underwriters pulled out, then the venue pulled out. It's kind of hard to have a show when, you know, nobody gets paid and there's no place to have it.
That was cool for us getting to Woodstock with Shinedown, because obviously that's such a historical place musically and stuff. I don't think we'd ever been to Woodstock before, right?
Did you guys get naked and take pictures like the Shinedown guys
did? We did not. We were just as surprised as you to see.
I was like,
I've known those guys a long time. I saw more of them in that one Instagram photo than I've ever seen.
I didn't even know they did that. So I just saw the post the other day. I was like, whoa.
They went out, for anybody that hasn't seen the Shinedown Instagram, they went out into the original field of Woodstock, and they took a picture out in the field, and then they took another picture of them naked holding their junk in the field.
Yeah.
And yeah. so you got to be warned because you see the first picture and, you know, on Instagram, you see the little dots and you swipe.
Yeah.
You got to be careful. Like it needs to have a warning, like careful when you swipe.
Parental.
I was stoked on that. I was like, you do you. Yeah. I dig that, you know.
We'd actually already seen that much of Brent on the tour.
That's true. Yeah.
That was so... For anybody who doesn't know, they really kindly gave us a backdrop.
I was going to ask you about that. So you guys were on tour with Shinedown.
Yeah.
And anybody that saw you at the Pavilion, which is where I met you, you had this little backdrop that like...
Sucked.
You can say it. You can say it.
And then what, a week or two after you were in Boston, you were at a show. And then tell me what happened.
So, okay. So like you said, the little backstory of the banner... That was our crappy little banner. We'd had it for ages. Banners are really expensive.
We were proud of it, though.
Oh, yeah. I love that thing.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
No, you're just saying it's crappy.
It is. I mean, I love it, but it's crappy. Yeah. You know?
It's our crappy.
Yeah. banners are really expensive because they have to be fireproof. Like, you know, they're made out of...
All the regulations.
You know, all the regulation stuff. So they're really, really expensive because of that. So we've been touring our little backdrop for ages. When you're hanging it in stages like Shinedown play, like in the amphitheaters and stuff, we were hanging it up and it literally just looked like a t-shirt.
It looked like the mini Stonehenge in Spinal Tap. Like just the little itty bitty literally. Banner that came down.
And I just remember as it got hoisted at the first show, I was like, oh no.
And we had the similar experience, but we just played Download just before coming out to Shinedown's tour. So back in the UK, we played Download, and it was the same thing. Like, we hoisted our... I mean, we were in a really good slot on a big stage, and we hoisted up the banner, and we was like, oh.
It reminded me of when I saw NoFX at Reading and Leeds one year, and they made a big song and dance of, like, a trumpet fanfare as they, like, hoisted this tiny backdrop, like, because, you know, they just sort of joke around and stuff.
But we were
like, this
for
is
real.
For real,
Like, we don't have anything else. Anyway, so we were on the Shinedown tour. Every day we'd be hoisting up this ridiculous banner. Then one time, because all the big headliner banners, they're usually Velcroed on, so they can be quickly torn down when the bands are changing over. Because our banner doesn't have Velcro, it was tied on and it got ripped off. So then it literally got like torn, so you couldn't even hang it anymore. So eventually on the Shinedown tour, we were just laying it over my amps as like kind of like a dish towel or something. Like,
yeah, like a throw over like a sofa.
Yeah. Just a gross throw that you wouldn't want to... Anyway, so now our little backdrop is over my amps, just like a little towel. And it was embarrassing. But we were just rocking it. And then I started talking about that on stage at each show because it was like kind of funny and charming, I guess. So we made a bit out of that on stage.
And Shinedown would often just come out and watch us.
Yeah.
And then they must have been like, oh, these guys.
Yeah.
Oh, we remember what that was like back
in
the day.
Yeah. And we didn't really know what was going on, but... Shinedown started to organize a banner for us, but we had no idea about that. They like started to... Well, anyway, I'll get to that bit at the end. So anyway, we're on stage in Phoenix. There's about 5,000 people in front of us, and we're playing. And then suddenly through my in-ear monitors that I've got in my ears, I get this like Steve, the monitor engineer, he kind of takes care of what we can hear.
And he never speaks during shows. Like,
yeah, you guys
literally...
wear those things like TV reporters wear. Yeah, and then your sound guy can talk to you while
exactly.
you're playing.
So they can affect what we hear. Yeah. They can talk to us if they need to and stuff like that. Steve would never speak.
No. So for him to suddenly come on over the ears, we were like, what?
Yeah. And he comes in, he's like, Matt, we've got a huge problem with the sound desk, meaning like the show, something is badly wrong with the show. He's like, we really need to fix this. And I was having a terrible show anyway. There was a guy stood right in front of me, and I can kind of hear a little bit of what's around me when I'm on stage. There's a guy stood right in front of me at the front row of the thing, screaming at me, saying he can't hear me for some reason. Like, so every opportunity he gets that I'm not playing guitar, this guy is just like yelling at me.
But not like once or twice. It was like, I can't hear you, I can't hear you, turn it up. So every time Matt went to speak, he was like, whoa, dude, can you just...
Yeah,
quiet.
I like literally couldn't even hear myself think. So eventually I'm just like, dude,
shut up!
The F up. I'm busy. If you want to hear me, stand for the back or whatever. Like, I lost it. So I was kind of, you know, pissed. And
then Steve comes on over the in-ears and says, you know, there's something wrong with the desk. So Matt's like, oh.
I'm like, this
is
the worst.
Can we just go get drunk already?
Right.
This is the worst. So he's like, Steve's like, do the bit about the banner. like kill some time, do the bit about the banner. I was so pissed that I was like,
you rushed through it. You're like, here's our crappy banner.
Yeah, I was like, here's our fucking banner. Like, you know, I was just not in the mood. And then I was like, okay, I've done that. So I started like getting ready to play another song, even though the desk was supposedly broken or whatever like that. And then I hear loads of people screaming at me, including Mike. So from Mike's perspective, he can now see Shinedown's stage crew starting to walk onto the stage behind us all.
Like a whole bunch of people. I was like, what's going on here? The only time I've ever seen this happen was another show where Bad Flower got shut down because of like, the weather. So I was like, something's happened.
Yeah.
We're getting shut down. I'm there screaming at Matt.
That's what
like,
you get for yelling at a guy in the front row.
Right. Like, damn. So Mike is now like, there's people screaming at me all over the stage, including Mike. So I turn around, see Mike screaming at me. He's like, we're getting cut. Like, we've got to go. So he's like literally getting up from his drum kit and just kind of walking off stage. I was like, what is happening here? Like, there's all these people on stage now. Everyone's shouting. Mike's saying we're getting cut. I was having a total nightmare. And then Shinedown's crew walk.
Line up, right?
Yeah, they line up all by the banner, or like where all the banners are of all the bands. And I was like, what is happening right now? So we were like kind of looking at them. And then they all yank this big black drape that's covering all the other bands' banners. And they all yank it and tear it down. And behind that black drape is a enormous, like, headliner-sized...
Festival-sized banner, right?
Festival-sized banner with dinosaur pileup across it. So I'm, like, what, like, blown away, because obviously my mood was, like, through the floor 2 seconds ago, and then suddenly I'm looking at, like, this incredible banner.
Yeah. And knowing that it's an expensive gift, and something they had started working on a long time ago to get it to surprise you.
And then we look left, and all of Shinedown, all of their crew, all the other bands, there must have been, like, 50 people side of stage watching this thing go down, because everyone knew about it, bar us. Like, everyone's watching, we're just, like, blown away. Obviously, I'm kind of on the clock, so we have to get on with our set, but it was just like so amazing.
So you don't really have a chance to say thank you, because obviously we're on stage.
Yeah. So then after the set ends, as soon as the set's done, we run backstage and to thank them. And this is where we'll get to the bit that
this is where it ties in.
We find out about Brent.
This is where it ties in. Yeah.
This is how it all ties in. But I should say first, when we went to thank them, all of those guys were, I mean, they are the nicest dudes ever, so supportive, so charismatic as well. But as soon as you thank them for anything, they're just so awkward, because they shy away from that.
They're like, we're not doing it for that.
Yeah. So they were immediately like, we don't want any thanks. We just want you guys to have your own success. And when you do, to be able to, you know, we want you to pay that forward to some other band that needs help in some way, in whatever way that is, which I thought was just the sweetest thing.
It's totally inspirational.
Like, that just doesn't happen, like, in rock or music in general. Like, that banner costs a lot of money, and they just spent it on us because they were like, that's what they need, and then they didn't want anything back from that. I just, you know, that was super special. What Mike was saying before is, when we went into their dressing room to thank them, Brent's just
stood there almost naked, just wearing a jock strap.
Why was he wearing a jock strap?
It's his pre-stage routine.
I don't know.
He wears a jock strap to get ready for shows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is that how he gets his voice warmed up?
I guess, maybe.
I don't know, dude. He was just stood there getting ready, not wearing anything apart from
totally
a jock
comfortable
strap.
We're like, hey, man. looking away, not knowing where to look.
And the whole time, he's very comfortable. Like, he's just just the most comfortable
person. I've
known
him a long time. I've never heard about this jock strap pre-show routine. Oh,
maybe we've just spilled the beans.
Oh, yeah, you did, because the next time Shinedown's in town, that's question number one. Brent's jockstrap.
Brent's going to be like, you guys.
Yeah, right.
P.S.
We're probably in trouble now.
Dinosaur pileup totally dimed you out on the whole jockstrap scenario.
Anyway, so we had this whole conversation with Brent just wearing absolutely nothing, and we were like, okay, and he was obviously totally cool with it. It was funny, man.
Well, when you were here with those guys in July, the song that everybody would recognize you for, which is the single off of your album, is you guys are going to play that first, right?
Yeah. Well, Matt's going to play it.
Yeah.
You just get to hang out.
Yeah, I just get to.
Yeah.
You just
get
to hang out. Privilege of being a drummer.
Yeah. I always make Mike come, because I'm just like, I'm not going on my own, buddy.
Yeah. You have to get up at 8 a.m. too.
Getting up too, dude.
That's right.
All right. Am I playing now? You want me to play now?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. Well, we're gonna play Backfoot, like you said. It's always weird playing a big rock song acoustically because you have to kind of. Yeah. It's a different vibe, isn't it? Yeah. But anyway, here we go.
It's good though.
That's Dinosaur Pileup acoustic here in the WAF studio. I was wondering how that was going to go acoustic.
Yeah.
Because when you play it live, it's very heavy.
Yeah.
And there's drums.
Did you write it on the acoustic? No. Or do you write it plugged in and then just figure out how to strip it down later?
Yeah. Often, like, most of the time I write on electric, like, just because I like how it feels and sounds and stuff. So then when you have to do it acoustically, you have to kind of re-figure it out. I mean, with Backfoot, I'm playing it the same, but it's, you know, just... You sort of have to vibe it differently. But like sometimes I'll write a song acoustically that will translate into a big rock song, but they're more kind of, I don't know, sometimes I feel like they're more like classic songs, you know. The next song I'll play is one of those actually, but usually I just write big riffs.
What's funny is that when you hear the song and then you hear you talk, you don't sound British when you sing.
Yeah.
Why? I've always wondered that.
Yeah. I get that a lot. I think that's because all of the music that I listened to, like, in my formative years that I guess inspired me to do this anyway, is all American. So all the alternative rock that I was listening to, or that I've ever listened to, really, it was all American. Foo's, Pumpkins, Rage, Nirvana, Deftones, all of that. It's obviously all American. I hardly listen to any British bands, if I'm completely honest. The only British bands I've ever really listened to is like the Beatles, Black Sabbath, Led Zepp.
Only those. Queen.
But it's like the older
just a
stuff.
Few,
yeah, Queen
you know.
Too. I love Queen, but it's all the older stuff, you know. All that 90s grunge, heavy metal, like all of that is American. So when I think about, like, you know, how does someone sound when they're like screaming their ass off and they're killing it? Well, in my mind, they sound like Zach from Rage or Dave Grohl. And so therefore, I guess when I'm thinking about screaming or singing a big chorus, it's that kind of voicing. Like, that's what I think about. It would be weird for me to hit a big chorus or whatever and speak deliberately English. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would just be awkward for me.
But it changes the whole tone of the words as well.
Totally.
So like it doesn't fit right.
No, it doesn't fit at all. And like, you know, American pronunciation and stuff, I guess if we're really thinking about it, which obviously, you know, I don't really think about stuff like this, but I guess if you are thinking about it, like American pronunciation and stuff is slightly more like soft.
Yeah.
And like easy.
Yeah.
Well, we get made fun of our pronunciation on things here in Boston all the time.
Yeah.
It's a very different accent.
Totally.
Here, right?
Yeah. But it's basically a bastardized version of yours. I mean, we are in New England, so... Yeah. And then I remind people that we invented America. You're welcome.
Fair enough.
I guess like, the pronunciation thing like with England is like, you know, the difference between Manchester, Leeds, London.
Yeah.
It's wildly different.
Yeah.
And we're like an hour away from, like Leeds is an hour away from Manchester. It's crazy that, or Liverpool even, like such different accents.
Like the only band that I know from Leeds who has a Leeds accent is like the Cribs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And like a lot of I don't know, when I listen to rock music, like contemporary rock bands now, like even like for instance Violent Soho, they're an Australian rock band that are killing it right now. They're like probably one of our favorite bands. You know, they're proper Australian, but they sound American.
Yeah.
When you're listening to them, they kind of sound like the Pumpkins or whatever.
Yes. Somebody just texted in, these guys are great, but I hate that they just said 90s is older stuff. You're making them feel very old.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
it's a fact. It is what it is.
It's nearly 2020.
I know. It's so weird. Well, what else are you going to play?
I'm going to play a song called Round the Bend, just because I like it.
Okay.
My voice is
as good a reason as any to play,
right?
Song.
Yeah.
We've been on tour for this is our 64th day, I think,
roughly.
Yeah. So 10 weeks. So I'm pretty crushed, but I'm gonna sing it quietly if that's okay with you.
Yeah. We can turn the volume up on our end. You're good.
Cool. We'll see how we go. All right. It's Around the Bend.
That's Dinosaur Pileup acoustic here in the WAF studio. You can see him tonight at the Middle East. Good luck getting that giant new banner from Shinedown into the Middle East.
Yeah, I think we might leave it out tonight.
We're going to use the old Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good. So yes. Go there tonight and see the old crappy banner.
We were going to hang the new one, but I think if we do, it'll just say
you'll cover
pile.
The entire club.
Yeah, I'll just say pile. So
when Gavin Rossdale from Bush was in here, I asked him this question. So now I'm going to ask every British person that comes in here.
Yep.
On my ways, yep. I have it give me turn-by-turn directions with a British accent because right. I feel like it's nicer.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you guys have your GPS set to an American accent by any chance?
No, but...
God, no, you're gonna say. So a member of our team that works with us on the radio, Adrock, he picked us up in what city were you in? Like, I can't remember where we were. Somewhere really hot. Was it Denver? And he'd rented a car and he'd set the GPS and he was like, check this out. So we had to take a ride with him to a station or something like that. And he'd set his GPS to boy band. And it was the best thing.
He died. It was so funny.
It was like, it would say the direction.
It'd be like, at the next junction, turn left.
Yeah. Turn right. It was just like so sick. Anyway.
We found it hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, so I always say that, you know, that British people can basically say anything.
Right.
And it just sounds nicer.
Okay.
So I printed some things out for you guys that I want you to read for me.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
The first one is some disclaimers.
Okay.
And then there are some prescription warnings. And then there's instructions for cooking something at the bottom.
Okay.
So I want you guys to read these for me.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's funny because often people think we're Australian because I think we're talking with like a regional dialect. And I think sometimes...
Oh my God, these are amazing.
Wow. Yeah, sometimes like the Queen's English, which is on like British people are portrayed... In movies, usually they're speaking the Queen's English, like James Bond.
Yeah, that's how all Bostonians sound like the Kennedys, right, they say. Yeah.
So sometimes, I don't know, we should ham it up, though. We should be really on this.
Do you want to take turns?
So these are just some of the things that I found on the internet that I thought would just sound nicer if you read them.
You have gone in with this first one.
Yeah, right in.
Matt, you can take this
okay,
one.
Okay, cool. I'm going to take this one. Okay, here we go. Me being British. Once used rectally, the thermometer should be... Not used orally. Should not be. Oh,
that's good advice.
I messed it up.
Yeah, but it still sounds good, though. It's good advice, yeah.
Never iron clothes while they're being worn.
Love that.
Yeah, it's good advice.
Never use a lit match or open flame to check fuel level.
After taking Ambien, you may get up out of bed while not being fully awake and do an activity that you do not know you are doing. The next morning... You may not remember that you did anything during the night. Is that real?
Yeah.
Is that for real?
These are for real.
Dude. Wow.
Yes, those are for real.
I should be taking more Ambien.
People have gotten up on Ambien, like a cooked a full meal, sat down and ate, and then went back to bed and didn't remember doing it the next day.
That's productive, if anything.
Yeah, I could probably write a couple of songs doing that. Okay. What? I can't even... that's embarrassing. I can't even say that word. Neuropsychiatric.
Yeah.
Serious neuropsychiatric... So, yeah, I can't do that one. Events have been reported in patients taking Chantix, as well as a lengthy list of side effects, including serious skin reactions, cardiovascular events, night terrors, insomnia, nervous system disorders, and eye disorders.
I'd love somebody just to tune in now, listening. Right. Like, what's
and they're
going
like,
on?
What is Carrie doing? For the love of God.
This show has really gone downhill.
That's, I know.
Patients treated with Ropinirole?
Ropinirole? Where did you get all this stuff?
On the interwebs.
Ropinirole.
What is that, like sheep's wool?
Lanolin?
I reported falling asleep while engaged in activities of daily living, including the operation of motor vehicles, which sometimes resulted in accidents. Due to the drug, nearly 20% of the subjects were documented with hypersexuality, as well as experiencing the new onset of compulsive gambling.
You know what?
It just sounds like alcohol.
I could listen to you talk English.
Isn't it nice?
You sound really good.
Oh, thank
you should
you.
Maybe do adverts or even those announcements on planes, the safety announcements.
Oh, you could show where the exits are. You got to have the finger gestures, though.
Yeah, get the finger
over the wings. And then this is the instructions, because they are, in fact, instructions on the packaging on how to cook a Pop-Tart.
I'm trying this.
Do you even know what Pop-Tarts are?
Yeah, okay. I love Pop-Tarts.
Freaking love Pop-Tarts.
Like, do they have the American food section at your supermarket
yeah,
at
do.
Home?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Pop-Tarts are one of the things
yeah,
that are in there,
yeah,
right?
They are. Yeah. But Pop-Tarts crossed over, you know. They're, yeah, they're not even in the American section. They're just regular.
Yeah.
I used to eat like, strawberry Pop-Tarts as a kid all the time.
Not straight out of the toaster, though. That will...
Oh, yeah, I mean, I can mess you up. Yeah.
Well, there's a warning about that.
Yeah.
On,
oh, right.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to, let's try like an advert vibe for this. So say we were the guy in the advert okay. or whatever. Pop-Tarts toasting instructions. Remove pastry from pouch. Warm pastry in toasting appliance at lowest or lightest heat, setting for one heating cycle only. Cool briefly before carefully removing pastry from toasting appliance. It's pretty good, right?
Nicely
That's
done.
Not bad. No one will ever miscook a Pop-Tart ever right. again. I pride this program on being educational.
I eat those guys raw, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Straight out of
yeah,
the bag.
Yeah.
You're so metal.
Don't even mess around.
Just unwrap eat them.
I take them neat.
Well, what's the thing it says right down at the bottom, the bottom line?
If pastry is overheated, frosting / filling can become extremely hot and could cause burns. Well, thank you for that.
Tongue
there you
burns.
Go.
Thank you for
yeah,
that.
We've all been there.
Yeah.
Well, if you just tuned into WAF and you're worried that there's weirdness going on, it's because the guys from Dinosaur Pileup are testing their British accents on the cooking instructions of Pop-Tarts and the side effects
yeah.
of Chantix.
And Chantix,
I
yeah.
don't even know what a Chantix
I'm gonna
is.
I'm going
to
get me
That's
some
That's the medicine
Chantix
you take to try and quit smoking.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it, you know, can give you a whole host of
We've
side effects.
We've got medicine
effects.
For that. It's called Juul.
Well, you guys are playing the Middle East tonight.
Yep.
Yes.
And then you're headed out on the road with the Offspring and Sum 41, right, to head to
Just
Canada?
Just announced.
Yeah, yes. yesterday yes. it came
I mean,
out.
That
yeah.
That is a ridiculous tour.
We
right?
are so stoked.
Yeah, that's
that.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That's our first Canadian tour, too.
It is, yeah. We've only been over to Canada a couple of times, like little one-off dates on other tours that have like jumped in, but... That's the whole thing is in Canada, which is wicked.
Don't screw around crossing the border.
No.
If you're going from here.
No,
I think we'll probably fly into Canada, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm going to eat a bucket load of all-dressed Ruffles.
Tim Hortons.
A what?
All-dressed.
What is that?
It's a flavor that we found out when we went to Toronto on this leg of the tour. It's like, remember those chips that we did on that tasting thing?
Oh, yeah.
And it was
yeah.
we had to guess what flavor it was, and it was like... It's called all dressed. Yeah. It's really hard to describe,
yeah.
but it's the best flavor
delicious.
I think I've ever had. It's
yeah.
like paprika,
yep.
ketchup,
yep.
Maple syrup.
I mean, I think it literally is literal. It's just they've it's just put that. Everything in it.
On a chip.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. yeah. I'm stoked. And also,
we'll bring
like,
you some back.
Yeah, please.
What festival was it we played a couple of years back? Was it
Carolina Rebellion?
Something like that. And Sum 41 were on the same stage as us.
Oh, yeah.
And we got to watch them side of stage, and it was
they
just
still
killer.
Kill it.
They absolutely rip. Like,
they're screaming
crazy.
Every word.
Yeah. And like and the Offspring, obviously, we love the Offspring. And Pete on drums for the
Pete
Offspring
Rider, yeah.
is a total dude. And we've hung out with him a couple of times. And it's cool because we have a look like we're fans of them and like Pete's really into dinosaurs, so we kind of stay in touch a lot. So it's nice that we yeah. kind of meant able to.
And Brown Sound dropped us a message as well, which was really
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, that's cool. So, yeah.
Can I ask you, because somebody on the text line from 603 is asking how you got your name. Is that Godzilla thing that I read on the
King
internet?
Kong.
Is that true?
It's King Kong.
It
yeah,
was King Kong.
It is true, yeah. We watched... Yeah, I mean, years ago, but I watched that Peter Jackson remake of King Kong has Jack Black in it, and I love Jack Black, but that movie is ridiculous.
It's
like
it's
really,
terrible.
Really bad. And I watched it with a couple of buds, and when we left, because it has that scene where there's a literal dinosaur pileup, and I left and I was like, okay, I'm betting you that the next band I make, I'm going to call it Dinosaur Pileup. Not really intending to. But when I wrote the first songs for Dinosaur, I couldn't think of a name to save my life. So I called it that. I was like, whatever, I'll just call it Dinosaur
Pilot. Save it under Dinosaur Pilot.
Yeah.
And then that ends up being the band that works.
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't realize we'd, you know, still be talking about that.
Well, I'm so glad you guys came up and hung out. Thank you so much for
of
coming
course.
Into the studio.
Yeah,
and,
thanks for having us.
Go out to the Middle East tonight. Details on the show are up on the concert page at waaf.com. And
awesome.
The next time you come back, will you come back to the studio the next time you're in
we
Boston?
Oh, of course.
And then I'll take you on the Mistress Carrie tour of Boston.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'll take you on the touristy things. They're about the Merit Revolution. You guys will love it.
That awesome. Would be cool.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
Like Facebook Live or whatever. So
I want to go to Salem as well. That's near here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we spoke
about that. Yeah, that's very cool, especially in October. Yes, you want to go up there for sure.
Oh, yeah. Halloween party.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Come back.
Bring it back.
Yeah. Let's do. Yeah.
All right. We'll be back. We'll go in commercial free coming up next with the WAF Workday Blitz 2.
Mistress Carrie, weekdays 10 to 3 on WAAF. Podcasts are always online and on your schedule at WAAF.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.